Quantum Foam.
Episode 47, Cryptocurrency, Part 2.
Quantum Foam.
Physics. Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
I don't need to be talking about Hezbollah right now. Yes, I know the first three letters is the same as my first name. I've heard this before.
It's just funny, but we will not be here much this episode. You got it?
All right, let's get back to what we were doing here. This is episode 47, Cryptocurrency, Part 2 of Quantum Foam. We are going to learn a little bit more on cryptocurrency. We are going to focus on blockchain technology. We're going to go into depth about what blockchain technology is. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to mine using computers and graphics cards and take it directly from the uncirculated pile. Some cryptocurrencies have a maximum circulation. Bitcoin has a maximum circulation of 21 million bitcoins. Since the beginning of Bitcoin, we have been using computers and then ASIC miners, ASIC, which is an application-specific integrated circuit. The purpose is to solve SHA-256 hash numbers and therefore process transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain. So as of now, there is 19.9 million bitcoins that have already been given out in circulation. So there is 19.9 million bitcoins circulating around the globe as we speak. They will be given out for mining Bitcoin. Bitcoin halves every 4 years, and as of April 20th, 2024, 3.125 bitcoins is awarded per block. When a block is found, when a bunch of computers find the hashes for the blockchain and added to the registry, an award of 3.125 Bitcoin will be awarded. All right, let's go into a little bit about blockchain. What it is, how it works, and how it can be used. First of all, what is a blockchain? A blockchain is a distributed database or ledger shared across a computer network's nodes. While it is best known for its crucial role in cryptocurrency systems, maintaining a secure and decentralized record of transactions, blockchains are not limited to cryptocurrency uses. We're going to be talking about blockchains as they are related to cryptocurrency. Blockchains, however, can be used to make data in any industry immutable, meaning it cannot be altered. Since a block can't be changed and it's permanent, the only trust needed is the point where a user or program enters data. This reduces the need for trusted third parties, such as auditors or other human activity, who add cost and make mistakes during transactions. Since Bitcoin's introduction in 2009, blockchain use has exploded due to the creation of various cryptocurrencies, decentralized finance, DeFi, D-E-F-I, applications, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, and other contracts. Bitcoin and other popular cryptocurrencies such as Ethereum and Solana can be purchased through leading crypto exchanges. There are several of them.
Coinbase is a good one.
The key takeaways from this is blockchain is a type of shared database that differs from a typical database in the way it stores information. Blockchains store data in blocks linked together via cryptography. Different types of information can be stored on a blockchain, but the most common use has been as a transaction ledger for a currency, a token, or a coin. In Bitcoin's case, the blockchain is decentralized, so no single person or group has control. Instead, all users collectively retain control. Decentralized blockchains are immutable, which means that the data entered is irreversible. It writes a list, it has a bunch of blocks, one after another, and they are permanent. For Bitcoin, transactions are permanently recorded and viewable to anyone. You can see how much Bitcoin is being moved around, and you can check the blockchain from the blockchain websites.
So-called blockchain explorers.
Every currency has one or several blockchains blockchain websites which keep track of transactional data on the blockchain. How does a blockchain work? You might be familiar with spreadsheets or databases. A blockchain is somewhat similar because it is a database where information is entered and stored. The key difference between traditional databases or spreadsheets and a blockchain is how the data is structured and accessed. A blockchain consists of programs called scripts that conduct the task you would usually perform in a database, entering and accessing information and saving and storing it somewhere. A blockchain is distributed, meaning multiple copies are saved on many machines and must match for it to be valid. The Bitcoin blockchain collects transaction information and enters it into a 4 megabyte file called a block. Different blockchains have different sized blocks. I'm not sure of the other currencies. I only know that Bitcoin is 4 megabytes. Once the block is full, the block data is run through a cryptographic hash function, which creates a hexadecimal number called the block header hash. The hash is then entered into the following block header and encrypted with the other information in that block's header, creating a chain of blocks, hence where the name comes from, blockchain. Transaction process. Transactions follow a specific process depending on the blockchain. For example, on Bitcoin's blockchain, if you initiate a transaction using your cryptocurrency wallet, the application that provides an interface for the blockchain, it starts a sequence of events. In Bitcoin, your transaction is sent to a memory pool where it is stored and queued until a miner picks it up. Once it is entered into a block and the block fills up with transactions, it is closed and the mining begins. You get a new transaction. It's entered. Then the transaction is transmitted to a network of peer-to-peer computers scattered across the world. This network of computers then solves equations to confirm the validity of the transaction. Once confirmed to be legitimate transactions, they are clustered together into blocks. Each transaction fills up and makes a block. Each block is filed one after another. These blocks are then chained together, creating a long history of all transactions that are permanent. Then the transaction is complete. Every node in the network proposes its own blocks in this way because it chooses different transactions. Each works on their own block, trying to find a solution to the difficulty target using the nonce, short for number used once.
The nonce is different from the word nuance, which means a subtle or slight degree of difference, as in meaning, feeling, or tone.
The nonce value is a field in the block header that is changeable. Its value incrementally increases with every mining attempt. If the result hash isn't equal to or less than the target hash, a value of 1 is added to the nonce. A new hash is generated, and so on. The nonce rolls over about every 4.5 billion attempts, which takes less than 1 second, and uses another value called the extra nonce as an additional counter. This continues until a miner generates a valid hash, winning the race, receiving the reward. This is how you are paid for your computer mining the transaction that came from the Bitcoin network. Generating these hashes until a specific value is found is the proof of work you hear so much about. It proves the miner did the work. The sheer amount of work it takes to validate the hash is why the Bitcoin network continues to consume so much computational power and energy. They have to have these computers plugged in to mine the cryptocurrency, and usually the people who get the blocks are huge mining farms that have a bunch of S17s, S19s, S21s, and maybe some old S15s. I had an S9 at one point back when S9s and S7s were profitable. It has been a while since that has been, but once a block is closed, a transaction is complete. However, the block is not considered confirmed until 5 other blocks have been validated. Confirmation takes the network about 1 hour to complete because it averages just under 10 minutes per block. The first block with your transaction and 5 following blocks multiplied by 10 equals 60 minutes. Not all blockchains follow this process, however. For instance, the Ethereum network randomly chooses one validator from all users with Ether staked to validate blocks, which are then confirmed by the network. This process is much faster and less energy intensive than Bitcoin. Blockchain decentralization. A blockchain allows the data in a database to be spread out among several network nodes, computers, or devices running software for the blockchain at various locations.
Hashing is a key component in this process, as it helps secure and validate transactions on the blockchain.
This creates redundancy and maintains the fidelity of the data. If someone tries to alter the record on the node, the other nodes would prevent it from happening by comparing block hashes. This way, no single node can alter information within the chain. Because of this distribution and the encrypted proof of that work, the blockchain data, such as transaction history, becomes irreversible. Such a record could be a list of transactions, but private blockchains can also hold a variety of other information like legal contacts, state identifications, or company's inventory. Most blockchains wouldn't store these items directly. They would likely be sent through a hashing algorithm and represented on the blockchain by a token. Blockchain transparency. Because of the decentralized nature of the Bitcoin blockchain, all transactions can be transparently viewed by downloading and inspecting them or by using blockchain explorers. Those are the websites that have the information on the blockchain. Blockchain explorers allow anyone to see transactions occurring in real time. They're live. Each node has its own copy of the chain that gets updated as fresh blocks are confirmed and added. They're live. This means that if you wanted to, you could track a Bitcoin wherever it goes. They're live. For example, crypto exchanges have been hacked in the past, resulting in the loss of large amounts of cryptocurrency. While the hackers may have been anonymous, except for their wallet addresses, the crypto they extracted is easily traceable because the wallet addresses are stored on the blockchain.
The FBI has a system to trace Bitcoin transactions.
If you send one Bitcoin to one address, it shows a hash and a list with that transaction. Then on the page of the next hash, if you send that Bitcoin to another hash, another wallet, it will show tracing from that Bitcoin to that wallet. So it will show the first wallet to the second wallet to the third wallet and so on and so forth. Of course, the records stored in the Bitcoin blockchain as well as others are encrypted. This means that only the person assigned an address can reveal their identity. As a result, blockchain users can remain anonymous while preserving transparency. Is blockchain secure? Blockchain technology achieves decentralized security and trust in several ways. To begin with, new blocks are always stored linearly and chronologically. That is, they are always added to the end of a blockchain. After a block has been added to the end of a blockchain, previous blocks cannot be altered or moved. A change in any data suggests changes in the block it was in. Because each block contains the previous block's hash, a change in one would change the following blocks. The network would generally reject an altered block because the hashes would not match. However, a change can be accomplished on smaller blockchain networks. Not all blockchains are 100% impenetrable. They are distributed ledgers that use code to create the security level they have become known for. If there are vulnerabilities in the coding, they can be exploited. A new and smaller chain might be susceptible to this kind of attack, but the attacker would need at least half of the computational power of the network. This is called a 51% attack. On the Bitcoin and other larger blockchains, this is nearly impossible. By the time the hacker takes any action, the network is likely to have moved past the blocks they were trying to alter. This is because the rate at which these networks hash is exceptionally rapid. The Bitcoin network hashed at a rate of around 851 exahashes per second as of September 2025. That number will be different when you hear this. The Ethereum blockchain is not likely to be hacked either. Ethereum is number two when you hear this. Again, the attackers would need to control more than half of the blockchain staked Ether. They use proof of stake. Bitcoin uses proof of work. Proof of work needs computers to calculate hashes and use up a lot of power to find blocks. Proof of stake uses a voting system that has to do with who has the most staked Ether. There are big exchanges and big Ether whales that are in control of the proof of stake. They make the decisions for the future of the cryptocurrency. As of September 2025, over 35.7 million Ethereum have been staked by more than 1 million validators. An attacker or group would need to own almost 18 million Ether computer and be randomly selected to validate blocks enough times to get their blocks implemented. Seems quite impossible.
I wonder if such a thing would be possible once we have fast enough quantum computers.
Time to take that midpoint.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Hawking.
And I am Sir Isaac Newton.
I am Albert Einstein.
And last but not least, I am Dr. Hezekiah Paul Smith. This is the midpoint of episode 47, Cryptocurrency, part 2 of Quantum Foam. Let's get back to the show. And we're back. Bitcoin versus blockchain. Blockchain technology was first outlined in 1991 by Stuart Haber and W. Scott Stornetta, two researchers who wanted to implement a system where document timestamps could not be tampered with. The Bitcoin protocol is built on a blockchain. That is the point of this episode. I am explaining blockchain technology so that we can understand how Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are transferred. We are taking example with Bitcoin and Ethereum. There are many other blockchains that have different features that use different methods to verify their currency. The key thing to understand is that Bitcoin uses blockchain as a means to transparently record a ledger of payments between parties. The purpose is for transactions to be immutable and permanent. Blockchain can be used to immutably record any number of data points. The data can be transactions, votes in an election, product inventories, state identifications, deeds to homes, and much more. Currently, tens of thousands of projects are looking to implement blockchains in various ways to help society other than just recording transactions. For example, as a way to vote securely in democratic elections. The nature of blockchain's immutability means that fraudulent voting would become far more difficult. A little bit more on blockchains, and then we will get into how you mine using a CPU or graphics card or application-specific integrated circuit. How are blockchains used? As we now know, blocks on a Bitcoin's blockchain store transactional data. Today, tens of thousands of other cryptocurrencies run on a blockchain. However, blockchain can also be a reliable way to store other types of data. Some companies that are experimenting with blockchain include Walmart, Pfizer, AIG, Siemens, Unilever, and others. For example, IBM has created its Food Trust blockchain to trace the journey that food products take to reach their locations. Why do this? Using blockchain allows brands to track a food product's route from its origin through each stop it makes to delivery. Not only that, but these companies can also now see everything else it may have come in contact with, allowing the identification of the problem to occur far sooner, potentially saving lives. This is one example of blockchain in practice, but many other forms of blockchain implementation exist or are being experimented with.
Bitcoin-based NFTs are unique digital assets directly inscribed onto the Bitcoin blockchain, pushing the boundaries of ownership and unlocking new possibilities for the legendary Bitcoin network.
There's lots of other ways that you can use blockchain technology, banking and finance. The fact that these mostly are currencies that use this technology. Blockchain forms the bedrock for cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. This design also allows for easier cross-border transactions because it bypasses currency restrictions, instabilities, or lack of infrastructure by using a distributed network that can reach anyone with an internet connection, anybody, anywhere. There's also healthcare, property records, various smart contracts. A smart contract is computer code that can be built into the blockchain to facilitate transactions. This is especially true with Ethereum. People build programs and use the contracts that Ethereum offers. It operates under a set of conditions to which users agree. This is the formation of DeFi applications, decentralized finance applications. When those conditions are met, the smart contract conducts the transaction for the users and adds the information to the blockchain. Other examples are supply chains, voting, and many other possible uses for blockchain technology. Let's wrap this up. There are lots of pros and cons of blockchain. It has improved accuracy. It's of a decentralized nature. The transactions are secure. It's transparent. It provides a banking alternative to other ways of making payments across the planet. There are some cons. There is a significant technology cost associated with some blockchains. We have to run and power all these computers to process the Bitcoin transactions, and there are a lot of them. So it takes actual real money paying per kilowatt hour for your electricity to mine these currencies. I will be going into some detail with some smaller, newer coins as examples to show you how mining is done. Another con is regulation varies by jurisdiction and it remains uncertain. There are data storage limitations, so there's a cap number of Bitcoins that are available to be in circulation, only 21 million. So it's going at a rate of 3.125 bitcoins per block found, and that happens all the time. I am correct. A bitcoin block is mined approximately every 10 minutes on average. This timing is maintained through a system that adjusts the mining difficulty to ensure consistent block creation. We could get into what happens when 21 million bitcoins are mined, but I think we need to get into the mining aspect of this. After all, this is the second part in our cryptocurrency series. We have part one and part two. All right. What happens if you want to mine some smaller coins that use your computer at home and you don't have to purchase and build a new computer just to do this? All right. This may be your hardware that you already have. You probably may have a tower for gaming and a graphics card, or maybe two graphics cards. This is a how-to for how you mine a couple shitcoins that are becoming popular. The first one is Raptorium, ticker code RTM. The second one is Ravencoin, ticker code RVN. The first thing you do is acquire some wallets. The last episode went more into detail about what wallets are. So we are going to try to mine Raptorium and Raven. You go to the website, search Raptorium wallet, go to raptorium.com/downloads and pick RTM Core. This takes you to a GitHub page that has programming code, so it's a little bit confusing. You want to pick one for Windows if you're using a Windows computer, and our examples were using Windows. Download Raptorium Win Installation 2.0301 mainnet.zip. This was released in September of 2024. That is the most up-to-date one. It will probably be more up-to-date when you do this, depending on when you're hearing this. Download the wallet, extract the wallet, and run the wallet. Use the default locations for installation purposes. There is one under Program Files, and there is another under Users App Data. If you are transferring wallets from a previous wallet iteration, let's say you had Raptorium on one computer and you needed to switch it to an additional computer, you would go to C, Users, your name, App Data, Roaming, Raptorium Core. And in that folder, you would find a place where the wallets are located. First, delete the wallet that's in there after you install the program. Install the program and don't run. Then go to this directory, delete the current wallet, and then copy and paste the other backed up wallet, which is a wallet.dat file. Then go to the Raptorium page in Program Files and create a shortcut and send it to the desktop. Then you go to the desktop and you click on Raptorium RTM and you run the wallet program. Let the wallet program download the entire blockchain. It needs to sync headers and then it downloads the entire blockchain. Let it finish. It will take 2 to 3 days. Let it run on your tower or desktop without the computer shutting down. One moment. All right, and let's say you have a Raptorium desktop Core wallet. You go into the transactions tab and you create an address for your Raptorium wallet. You create an address, and that hash number will be how people send you money, and it will be how you send your mining proceeds to your offline wallet. Your wallet is offline when it's closed on the desktop, and it is a hot wallet when it connects to the system and uploads the current transactions. It has to keep track of the blockchain going all the way back several years, and it takes a while to load. But once it loads, it will be the interface that you access your Raptorium with. So you have a Raptorium wallet now. Now you need to set up the mining. Go into C, Program Files, and create a folder called CPU Miner. So the version I actually downloaded was CPU Miner GR version 1.2.4.1 x86-64 Windows. So search for that. There may be other ways to get other mining going that CPU Miner is capable of mining. I am going to be mining Raptorium with the CPU. The version that works and that's recent is CPU Miner GR 1.2.4.1-x86_64_Windows. Type that into Google and it will send you to a GitHub page. Then download CPU Miner from there. This is to get CPU Miner working with Windows to mine RTM. Paste the CPU Miner GR 1.2.4.1 into Program Files, then open up, click on CPU Miner and right click, send to desktop, create shortcut, put it right next to your Raptorium wallet. At least every week or two, you should update your Raptorium wallet. I would just every week or so open it up and check to see how much Raptorium you've been mining and check the amounts. You can just have it sent to your computer if you're doing this alone. So in the CPU GR 1.2.4.1 folder, right click on config, open with Notepad. You need to set up an rtm.supernova account and create workers. Go to rtm.supernova.cc and set up an account. I can't really go through with how to set up an account, but you set up an account and then go to workers and create workers. I happen to be using the main one. They just downsized their servers. It is stratum plus TCP /rtm.supernova.cc:6273. That is on port 6273. The user that I have created is my username dot a worker. So it's my username is a certain username dot worker 1 dot worker 2 dot worker 3, and I have different computers named worker 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I've created a certain number of workers on the website. Just create a username and a worker for however many workers you're going to be having. If you only have one, do one. That's not much. Get a bunch of laptops and desktops and have them mine Raptorium, and that's what they do on their off time, and it doesn't really take that much power to run the CPU that's already running anyway. It likely takes a little bit more power than just sitting idle, but it's really not that much power. It's negligible. If anything, you're sucking money from your utility running your electricity. So you're probably paying for it and you're probably making a small profit. But if you just let it run for many months and many days, and maybe in a certain number of years, I'll say, wow, we invested in Raptorium and now we are rich. So it is another possible retirement that may take a while to come to fruition. Certain coins start out below a cent. Some of them start out at about a cent for their initial coin offering.
That is similar to an initial public offering in a company.
And basically that's how you mine Raptorium using your CPU on your computer. Now, real quick, we can mine Ravencoin as well. That's another popular one that is profitable to mine with your graphics card. The process is similar mining Ravencoin.
You run NanoMiner on your GPU using NanoPool.
Just make sure that you have a Ravencoin Core wallet address and probably on the same computer.
Sounds reasonably easy.
And that's all we have time for. So that is it for episode 47, Cryptocurrency, part 2 of Quantum Foam. I will talk to you guys later. Happy mining, and I hope you understand cryptocurrency just a little bit better. That is it.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.